How many of you guys know this meaning, Ichabod? The pagan nation around Israel had everything just like Israel. They had a temple, they had a priest, they had the sacrifices, they had the religious laws. They have one thing missing. Do you know what that is? The presence of God. They had this so-called gods, little g gods, could not see, could not hear, could not know what's going on, and could not speak. Only the nation of Israel had the glory of the true and living God dwelling in their midst. When the Moses dedicated the temple, Moses dedicated the tabernacle, glory of God came down upon the tabernacle. Remember, you guys? And it was like a pillar of fire right above the tabernacle. When the sin of the Israeli people, after they've moved into the promised land, when their sin was rampant, glory of God left, it recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 4. Then, when the Solomon dedicated the temple, not tabernacle this time, the glory of God came down upon them, and the cloud filled the temple. It was so strong and so thick that even the priests could not stand. They had to fall on their face because of the Shekinah glory. But it is leaving the presence of people because their sin was so bad. That's what we are going to witness here. Then, of course, the glory of God would return with the birth of Jesus Christ. Without the presence of the glory of God, His people are just another religious crowd going through the religious motion to appease their vacuumed mind. It is important for you to understand that without the presence of God, we are nothing. When you check the definition of the word Ichabod from the dictionary, you will find the definition said a male given name from the Hebrew word meaning without honor. But it's a far more than honor. James kind of mentioned this, and so to find the origin of the Ichabod, I want you to go to 1 Samuel chapter 4, please. Verse 19. Now his daughter-in-law, the Phinehas' wife, was with a child due to be delivered. And when she heard the news, the ark of God was captured, and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and gave birth, and for her labor pain came upon her. And about time of her death, the woman who stood by her said to her, "Do not fear, for you have borne a son." But she did not answer, nor did she regard it. Then she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory has departed from Israel, because the ark of God has been captured because of her father-in-law and husband." And she said that the glory has departed from Israel, for the ark of God has been captured. In other words, Ichabod's definition is the glory of God has departed from Israel. That's a sure way to ruin the kid's future with that kind of name, right? From chapter 8 and 2 to 3:11, we will learn that Ezekiel had a vision from the Lord that showed his glory departing from Jerusalem because the remnant of Jewish people continuously disobeyed him and followed after their pagan idols to the extreme. And you may say, well, what extreme? That they've been worshiping pagan idol all this time. No, we will read that thing in chapter 8. Jewish people still refused to repent and obey the Lord after the first and the second invasion by Babylon. Now they are facing third invasion, but they are still holding on to this false hope, false sense of security. Egypt will come by and rescue us. They thought that God would never permit the holy temple to fall into the hands of the pagan Gentiles, but they proved to be wrong. Let's start at the verse 3 of chapter 8, please. And we will pray. Heavenly Father, we have a tendency that being a Christian, follower of Jesus Christ, we tend to take for granted of your presence in our lives. We know that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, but do we really honor Him with our lives? Maybe we do that in the presence of other people because we want to look good. But what about the behind the closed door when nobody is watching except you and ourselves? Father, we don't want to be like Israelite people. We don't want to be like them because they choose to do whatever they choose to do and ruining the relationship between you and them. And eventually you depart from their presence. Father, teach us that we may not do that kind of thing. We may seek your presence. We may seek your glory. Let that be the first thing that we desire more than our own lives. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 3, please. He stretched out the form of the hand and took me by the lock of my hair. The Spirit lifted me up. Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven and brought me in the visions of the God to Jerusalem, to the door of the north gate in the inner court, where the seat of the image of jealousy was, which provoked jealousy. Furthermore, he said to me, Son of man, do you see what they are doing? The great abomination that the house of Israel committed here, to make me go far away from my sanctuary. Now turn again, you will see great abomination. So he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, there was a hole in the wall. And he said to me, Son of man, dig into the wall. So I dug into the wall, there was a door. And he said to me, Go in and see the wicked abomination which they are doing there. So I went in and saw there every sort of creeping things and abominable beasts, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed all around on the wall. And there stood before them 70 men of the elders of the house of Israel. And in their midst stood Zephaniah, the son of Shaphan. Each man had a censer in his hand, and thick crowd of incense went up. Verse 12, Then he said to me, Son of man, have you seen what the elders of the house of Israel do in the dark? And every man in the room of his idols, and they said, The Lord does not see us. The Lord has forsaken the land. And he said to me, the turn again, you will see great abomination that they were doing. So he brought me to the door of North Gate, the Lord's house, and to my dismay, a woman was sitting there weeping for Tammuz. And he said to me, Have you seen this, O son of man? Turn again, you will see great abomination than this. So he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and there at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their back toward the temple of the Lord and their face toward the east, and they are worshipping the sun toward the east. Then he said to me, Have you seen this, O son of man? Is it trivial things to a son of house of Judah to commit abomination which they committed here? For they have filled the land with the violence, then they have returned to provoke me to anger. Indeed, they put the branch to their nose. Therefore, I also act in fury. My eyes will not spare, nor will I have pity. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, I will not hear them. Stop there, please. Ezekiel was not physically transferred from where he was, the Kabbalah River of Babylon, to the Jerusalem. It's not like a physical transfer Remember that Philip, when he baptized the Egyptian eunuch in the wilderness, and after he got out from Samaria, he was in the Gaza area. He was taken from there to the Azotor, and then from there he went to Caesarea. According to the book of Acts chapter 8, we studied that portion. It was not like that bodily transfer. Rather, this is just simply sitting where he was in the Babylon. He was seeing all these visions. It was bad enough for Israelite to worship the worthless idol in their homes and the countryside under every green tree, as God said. But it's a brazen presumption of their part to bring those idols to the temple so that they could worship them among the worship, along with the worship of God, Jehovah God. To them, the Lord was downgraded to one God among many, but not the Lord of Lords. In other words, they did not have a fear of God. Guess what? That is where the sin starts. When we don't have a fear of God, that's where the sin starts. What does the proverb say? Fear of the God is what?
Fear of the Lord is the beginning.
Beginning of wisdom. When we don't have that, that's where the sin continues. There was not one single godly king in Northern Kingdom, Israel, and it was abolished. The Southern Kingdom, Judah, should have noticed that. They should have repented of their sins, and they should take the heed, but they did not. Actually, they went from bad to worse. It's one thing for us to do it with the ignorance, but when we do the things that we are not supposed to do and we know it, that's worse. Let me put it in this way. There's a tremendous difference in the criminal world. Criminal law world. Premeditated murder and manslaughter. Correct? Manslaughter, it happened. Premeditated murder, that's a cold-blood murder. And even the Bible makes the distinction. When it was a manslaughter, a person can run to the city of the refuge. Without the presence of God, the temple was just another building. And let's go back to verse 11. We see this 70 men of elders of the house of Israel. They are the ranking elders of Israel. And you may say, where did you come up with that idea? Oh, well, let me go back with you. Remember that Moses was taking care of the Israeli people's bickering all day long from the early in the morning until the late night. He's handling everybody, listening to everybody's complaining and judging each one of them. And his father-in-law, what's his name? Jethro, said, what you're doing is not good. You need to select a godly man and give them your authority, and so they can take the load off from your shoulder. And guess how many people he selected? 70. It became a tradition, so they are the one who was taking care of the daily affair of Israel. They are the ranking, highly respected elders. And these are the ones leading the idol worship. No wonder the whole country went down the drain. Any questions? Latest thing is, I think, either Kansas or the North Carolina, one school district, they will not have In God We Trust. You see, that their notion was that God does not see it. And verse 12, go back to the verse 12. The Lord does not see us. The Lord has forsaken the land. What a joke that is. Then again, it's a typical thought of every sinner, not just them. Including us. When we sin against God, guess what? We don't think about God. If we think about God, we wouldn't sin against God. Would you agree with me on that? Yeah, while we sin against the Lord, we somehow think that God does not know anything, nor can He see anything about our sins. We are only kidding ourselves. Yes, the joke is on us when we think that way. Keep your finger there and go to Psalm 139, please. You guys know this. You heard it so many times. Psalm 139, verse 7. David wrote this. Probably he said he wrote this while after he got confronted by the Nathan, the prophet, saying, "You the man? Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make a bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me, indeed the darkness shall not hide from you, and the night shine as the day. Darkness and the light are both alike to you." You see, while Christians, believers today may not have a grotesque idol, remember that we just read all these beasts. We may not have that kind of idol to bow down, but we still be aware of idols, because idols is anyone or anything that takes a priority over God. Apostle John said this in the last verse of his first epistle, 1 John chapter 5, please. 1 John chapter 5. He said, "Little children," what does it say? "Keep yourself from idols." Alright, back to Ezekiel. This time, wicked are slain and the remnant is spared. Verse 1 of chapter 9, please. "Then he called out in my hearing with a loud voice, saying, let those who have a charge over a city draw near, each with a deadly weapon in his hand. And suddenly six men came from the direction of the upper gate, which faced the north, with each with his battle axe in his hand." By the way, do you know what the battle axe is? It's about this tall, and has an axe coming out like this in both sides, usually. You know, you swing one thing that one swing to somebody, cutting that person in half is nothing. One man among them was clothed with a linen, had a widest ink horn at his side. By the way, some commentators, Bible scholars and commentators, they have a wild imagination. They said of the person, that this seventh person clothed with a linen and had the writer in corner on his side, is a Christophany, Jesus Christ. And the reason is because he is wearing linen. Well, guess what? There were a lot of other angels also wearing white linen. So you cannot pinpoint this particular person as a Jesus Christ in Old Testament figure. Like I said, they have a wild imagination. They went in and stood beside the bronze altar. What would the bronze altar represent? When we studied the tabernacle. Anybody remember? Judgment. Bronze always representing judgment. Bronze altar. Now, they're standing, all seven of them standing around the bronze altar. "Now the glory of the Lord of Israel has gone off from the cherub where it had been, and threshold of the temple." That means it's moving out of the temple area. "And he called to the man and clothed with the linen, and who had the writer's ink horn on his side. And the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city and through the midst of the Jerusalem, and put the mark on the forehead of the man who sigh and cry over all the abomination that are done within it. To others he said in my hearing, go after him through the city and kill. Do not let your eyes spare, nor have any pity. Utterly slay old and young men, maiden and little children and women. And do not come near anyone on whom is the mark. And begin at my sanctuary. So they began with the elders who were before the temple, and he said to them, defile the temple and fill the court with the slain. Go out. And they went out and killed in the city. I believe that these six men were angels who were in charge of Jerusalem. Because I'm not guessing, we'll go back to verse 1. Let those who have a charge over the city draw near. See, there's an angel who is charged, six of them charge over the city. And these angels are appointed to execute God's judgment in the city. And the seventh angel wearing the linen and the scribe's ink horn, writer's ink horn, is equivalent to your pen that you are using. This seventh angel, he was commanded to mark the people who lament and grieved because of the sins of the city. No matter how dark the day is, the Lord always have his faithful remnant who obeyed his will and trust him for deliverance. Believers today marked by the Holy Spirit of the living God and should be marked by the holy living that glorifies Christ. Another
rapture, but yeah. Right. Okay, I'm sorry.
No, perfect. And those who did not receive 666 during the tribulation time will be also spared. By the way, according to some of the Hebrew scholars, and of course biblical scholars, they say the marked word, the Hebrew word marked, is the last letter of the Hebrew word known as a tau. And tau, is the shape of tau is like this. The cross. And since Bill mentioned that, as I was going to, when they apply the lamb's blood at the Passover time, the instruction was you apply to the door frame and the top in shape of a what? Cross. Do you think the Bible is kind of rigged?
Kind of what?
Kind of rigged? It's all rigged together? Oh yeah, it is rigged. Yes. Alright. Often in the scripture, we find God sending the judgment, not because unbelievers have the sin, but because his own people have disobeyed the law. And you may say, well, unbelievers, well, why not? Unbelievers of sin is worse. No, it's not. Remember what I said? The difference between manslaughter and premeditated murder? What does unbelievers, they do best? They sin. Dog, fox, sinner sins. But we, the believers of Jesus Christ, we know better. We should know better. But we do. When we sin against God, even though we should not, and we know that we should not, then it's a problem. For two times, Abraham brought the judgment on the innocent Gentiles because he lied about his wife in Genesis chapter 12, Genesis 20. Remember that? Oh no, she's not my wife. She's my sister. Sarah should have decked him. Then Aaron, high priest, led Israel into idolatry, and 3,000 people were slain in Exodus chapter 32. Remember his excuse when Moses asked him? Oh, well, you know, we put all this gold into the furnace, and the gold cap jumped out. Right. David committed adultery with Bathsheba, and then murdered her husband, Uriah. And then his sin brought the years of trouble to his family and the nation. Remember that? the angel of death going around the Jerusalem and killing people. And David intercede to God and pleading to God, it is me who sin against you, not these innocent people. What do they know? They are the sheep. And what did God say? And through the prophet Gad, he said, go up to that mountain and sacrifice. So he ran up to that mountain and sacrificed the animal. And at the time, he did not have it, but the owner of the mountain had the animal. So he bought with the full price, and he said, I'll give it to you, my king. He said, no, I will not sacrifice that. It cost me nothing. And that mountain happened to be the same mountain where Jesus died. That mountain happened to be the same mountain where Abraham offered his son Isaac as a sacrifice. Again, Bible is all connected and engineered together. God's people are to be the salt and the earth of the earth and the light of the world. If there were the more salt in this world, there would be less decay. Would you agree? And more light of means the less darkness. Our good work glorifies the Lord, but our sin invites His discipline. Judgment begins at the household of God. Go to the Ezekiel chapter 10, please. Ezekiel chapter 10, verse 18. Then the glory of the Lord departed from the threshold of the temple and stood over cherubim. And the cherubim lifted up their wings and mounted up from the earth in my sight. And they, when they went out, the wheels were beside them. They stood at the door of the east gate of the Lord's house, and the glory of the Lord of Israel was above them. From the throne to the threshold, now to the eastern gate. At this point, the Shekinah glory that had been on the throne, from the throne to the threshold of the temple to the east gate of the temple, I don't believe the religious rebellious people knew what was going on, or they could have careless about it. Even if they knew, they could have careless about it, if they survived from the execution of these angels. Once again, the Lord is making Ichabod over Jerusalem and Judah. I wrote the next phrase, and as I was writing this, and I was thinking, no, I know it's not the same thing. I wonder when Ichabod happened in America. I think it goes way before. I know that we don't have the same privilege like Israel. It was not like His glory came down in the pillar of the fire. We don't have that kind of thing. But certainly everyone should admit that God extended His grace and mercy upon America, because our forefather had a right heart. Just as Great Britain went down the drain from the... You remember that known as the empire on which the sun never sets? Because they had their colonies everywhere, four corners of the world. Yeah. And now it turned out to be nothing more than just a little island in Europe. Does not have a voice, does not have an influence. They can scream all they want, but the European government ignores them. By the way, now the born again believers in England is about less than 10%. If you look at the Church of England, people are 38%. But they are kind of like people like a Methodist or the Presbyterian here. They have a name, they have a membership, but that doesn't mean anything. So I wonder when Ichabod happen in America. And now all of you are going to think about Ichabod throughout the night. Verse 8 of chapter 11, please. You have feared the sword, and I will bring the sword upon you, says the Lord God, which means that He's going to bring the judgment through the Babylonian soldiers. I will bring you out of its midst and deliver you into the hand of strangers, execute judgment on you. You shall fall by the sword. I will judge you at the border of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. This city shall not be your cauldron, nor shall you be the mead in the midst. And I will judge you at the border of Israel. Stop there for a minute. It's not on my sermon notes. When third invasion happened by the Babylonians, forgot the name of the king. I believe it was Jehoiachin. He ran away between the two walls and thinking that he can escape. He was captured. He was dragged down to the border of Israel. He was killed. Just like the God prophesied. Continuing in verse 12. And you shall know that I am the Lord, for you have not walked in my statutes nor executed my judgment, and have done according to the customs of Gentiles which are all around you. In chapter 8, the Lord showed Ezekiel 25 men at the eastern door of the temple worshipping the sun. They were giving the wicked counsel to the Israeli people, especially the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the leaders. And they are saying that, well, God told me to tell you, and thus says the Lord, and all that thing, for the credibility's sake. While I was studying yesterday and today, I use, as I told you before, I use crosswalk.com a lot. And there is on the side of the web page the banner with Joel Osteen's picture, with that his cheesy grin on his face. And I looked at him and said, Ichabod. I thought about Ichabod. He is the main tool of Satan. He's telling people everything is fine. Isn't that what he teach? Isn't that what he teach? And he said he's giving false sense of security to the people. These people insist that Jerusalem was safe for them as a piece of meat in the cooking pot. I don't know what kind of metaphor that is, but then again, they understood, we don't. This metaphor was that the people in Jerusalem was a choice cut of meat, while the exile in Babylon was just scrap or rejected meat. That's why they end up in the exile. But we who are in Jerusalem, we are the choice meat, and God will not destroy this city because the temple is here. Verse 16, chapter 11. Therefore say, thus says the Lord God, although I have cast them far off among the Gentiles, now God is giving them hope. Although I had scattered them among the countries, yet I shall be a little sanctuary for them in the countries where they have gone. Therefore say, thus says the Lord God, I will gather you from the people, assemble you from the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And this is being fulfilled, and this was fulfilled, and it is being fulfilled. Self-confident Jews in Jerusalem thought that they were secure as long as they had a temple, and the true temple already moved out, and it was with the exiles. With the exiles in Babylon. Long before there ever was the tabernacle or the temple, patriarch had a God. Whenever he set put the tent peg on the ground, his brought an altar. He built an altar because God's presence was there. Wherever believers of the God goes, there is the presence of God. And that brings, that's the where the abiding place. That brings to the next thing, that New Testament equivalent to the experience is abide in Christ. John chapter 15, please. John chapter 15. As soon as I read the first word, you will know this. I am the true vine, and my Father is a vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. Did you know that? He prunes, that they may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide, there is the word. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. One application. Without the presence of God, whatever we have is empty. Comprende?